Praise God, y'all. Praise God. It is awesome to be in the house of God today. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but I love Sunday. I love being able to come here on Sunday. I love Monday, and I even love Wednesdays when I get to hang out with the youth. But there's something about Sunday, right? You get to come out with your family. You get to come out and hang out with people who love you. And this really is a family, right? For example, thank you everyone for all the wonderful birthday wishes that you guys have been sending my way since Monday. God is awesome, giving me another year of life. But something as simple as wishing someone a happy birthday, right? You think that that was just a small thing. But you know, I've been to churches where you go to church on Sunday and then you leave and no one even knew you were there, right? You could come in and go out. No one would know you were there. But people go out of their way to wish you a happy birthday in this family, right? And if you are a member of this church and you, it's not because I'm the pastor. It's Pastor Raphael's birthday. Gotta make sure you say happy birthday to him because he's the pastor. No. All right? I'm on teams. I am on teams. If you are a member of this church, you getting you a happy birthday. Right? Sometimes I look at my phone and I'm like, good Lord, have mercy. Like 137 messages. I'm like, either someone really needs prayer or it's someone's birthday, right? But people go out of their way to make you understand that you are a part of this family, amen? And I praise God for that. So now that you guys know that I consider you as family, you are going to graciously receive the word that God has for you today. See how I had to preface that with letting you know how much I love you? Okay, remember that. And so, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about suiting up. We have been talking about being appointed by God, okay? And when you are appointed by God, you have to suit up for what it is that God has appointed you to do. And whenever we think about an appointment, right, that God makes, everybody thinks about David, Abraham, Isaac, right? All the big cheeses of the Bible. But whenever God appoints you to do something, it doesn't matter if it's big, it doesn't matter if it's small, right? Think of Ananias. All God asked Ananias to do was pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. And that prayer yielded major results. I'm talking about 2/3 of the New Testament kind of results. So when God calls you to do something, it's not because it's just this little thing that God is too inconvenienced to do. Trust me, God could do anything he wants to do with or without you, right? You are going to receive a message this Sunday with or without me, okay? The work of God is going to continue to move forward, okay? And so when we talk about suiting up, what does that look like with regards to Scripture? Well, in Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Right? So God is calling us to spiritually equip ourselves every day with the full armor of God. Emphasis on full set of armor, okay? Not parts of it, not most of it, the full armor of God. So today, what I want to talk about is this. Choosing armor over an arsenal. Are we ready for the word of God today? All right, well, let's do this. Lord, we just come before you today and we give you thanks, oh God. We give you thanks for the word that you have brought forth. We pray, oh God, that you would just use me as the vessel that you've called me to be used as. And Lord, I pray that only your word come forth here today, oh God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that I would just submit myself in obedience to you and your will, oh God. And that, Heavenly Father, at the end of this, you, oh God, would be the one to receive all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. So, we're talking about choosing armor over an arsenal. Okay? Armor over an arsenal. But in order to choose armor over an arsenal, we first need to understand the difference between the two. So, an arsenal is a collection of weapons and military equipment stored by a country, person, or a group. It is a collection of weapons and military equipment. Okay, so primarily it is a collection of weaponry to be used in war. Now, armor are the metal coverings formerly worn by soldiers or warriors to protect the body in battle. Now, we know today it's not metal coverings. It's more of ballistic vests and plates and everything like that. But still, it's something worn by soldiers or warriors to protect the body in battle. So, armor and an arsenal are two different things. Don't worry, there's not going to be a test. I'm going to give you the answer right now. One is for offense, one is for defense. And again, I'm going to give you the answer, which one is which? There's no test, at least not by me. Whatever God does later, that's on you. Okay. The armor is for the defense, while the arsenal is for the offense. So what does that armor look like in its entirety? Well, again, let's jump into Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we know that we are equipping this armor so that we can be able to defend ourselves in the spiritual war that is taking place each and every single day. So God is letting us know this is a spiritual set of armor that we are to put on a daily basis. And in 13, it says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. In three verses, God has told you two times, put the whole set on, the full armor. Why? Because you need it to resist the devil. Three verses, two times. You think God's trying to make a point? Right. So what does the armor look like? Well, it says, standing firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I love how they start with your belt of truth, right? Because for those who don't know, when it came to the Roman armor, all the rest of the armor attached itself to the belt of the armor. So therefore, the first thing that you needed to put on was the belt of truth. So the first thing that you need to equip yourself with is truth. Truth. And the reason the first thing you need to equip yourself with is truth is because the first thing that the enemy's going to try to attack you with is a lie. Right? The first thing the enemy's going to try to attack you with is a lie. And the only way that you can tell the difference between the truth and a lie is if you actually know what truth is. And then the next thing is the breastplate of righteousness, designed to cover your major organs, specifically your heart. Okay? The heart is what people refer to as the organ that is, it's associated with your emotions. It's associated with your feelings, right? I've never received a text message that says, I brain you. It's always, I heart you. I love you, right? So it signifies emotion. Because what happens when you get attacked with a lie is that it evokes an emotion. And when it evokes an emotion, it makes you begin to believe in the lie. So the first two things that we need is truth and righteousness. And when we have truth and righteousness, we have the beginnings of an effective set of armor. Amen? And it goes on into verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The next thing that we're putting on are the sandals, the combat boots, steel toe preferably. And as you're going along, the reason that the next thing that you put on are your the preparation of the gospel of peace on your feet is because the only truth that you should be walking in is the gospel. The only steps that you should be taking in your life are steps that represent the gospel. Because if you're stepping in anything else, it's smelly and it's not going to bring you money. I'll leave that there. Right? But the gospel of peace is what your feet should be equipped with, not the latest style. Amen? And it goes on, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I love the shield of faith, because the shield of faith explains to me, not that it's going to block the arrows that might come, not the arrows that may come. It says all the flaming arrows of the evil one, as in they will come. They will come in your life. But God has given you a faith that is sturdy enough to deflect and reflect every single one as they come in. Do you hear me? You have a shield of faith that is unbreakable, even with flaming arrows. In the next part, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The next thing you have to make sure is that you protect your mind of the truth of God's word. Because I don't know if you know this, but the mind is an extreme battleground. All right? If you have ever spent an extended amount of time by yourself, you will begin to realize that your mind will play tricks on you. If you have ever spent an extended amount of time without sleep, you will find that your mind begins to play tricks on you. I'll share a story with you about when I was in the military, and we were doing our last week, right, in basic training. And what you have to do is there's a 10K ruck march that you have to do in order to get to the campsite. And when you get to the campsite, you spend 3-4 days out in the field doing different mock operations while you were there. And then you have to do a 15K march back to your barracks, all right? So it takes about a week to get everything said and done and for everything to take place, right? I think in the Marines, they call it like Hell Week or something like that, right? That's why I joined the Army. I didn't want to go to hell. So But the thing is, right, when I was going through this, I was about two and a half days in. And I was laying in what they call a ranger grave. It's a shallow hole so that your rifle is sticking out and just about half your head so that you're able to aim, so it makes you a hard to hit target, right? And about 2.5 days in, I haven't slept, okay? Because the last time we did a field exercise, I had my battle buddy. His name was Oates. He was as Kentucky as you can get. Oates worked in a farm, and he had that super southern drawl. I had no idea what this guy was saying 100% of the time. Okay. And then he had like, he didn't only just have drawl, he had a high-pitched southern drawl. So he was like, all right, Raphael. And so I was like, all right, I guess we're in this together the next couple of weeks, bro. So the last time we had field exercises, Oates fell asleep at the same time I was sleeping. He wasn't supposed to fall asleep. So then we both ended up getting burned because you know if one fails, you both fail, right? And so I'm getting smoked, as they called it. So on this exercise, I was like, Oates, they ain't catching me again. So 2.5 days. Next thing I know, I start hallucinating. And I literally see two rows of soldiers marching, and clearly this is a hallucination because they're in World War II equipment, looking like Band of Brothers, right? I get out of my ranger grave, and I start walking in line with them. Next thing I know, I come to, and I'm like, oh my goodness, where am I? I turn around, the fire's like that big. That's how far I walked. And I'm like, I am dead, all right? Because clearly, Oates wasn't awake again. So I'm starting to cry. I'm putting all my training into use now because I'm trying to get back to that ranger grave without drill sergeant finding out, okay? So I'm like going, I'm ducking, I'm dodging, I'm crawling, I'm hiding behind trees. I was thin enough back then so I could hide behind a tree. And so I was going and going and going, and I finally get back, and I didn't get caught. I didn't get caught, but boy, let me tell you, that taught me a lesson. That taught me a lesson. When you deprive yourself of the things that you need, the enemy will take advantage of what he needs in your life, right? And I didn't even know Jesus back then. I didn't even know Jesus. But boy, let me tell you, now that I do, I can see how sneaky the devil can be. And a lot of people, they recognize this last part. It says the sword of the Spirit, and they say, yes, finally, a weapon, right? And then they take that sword, and then they charge into the battlefield looking like Mel Gibson in Braveheart. It's like, you can take her land, but you can't take her freedom. And they start charging towards people with the gospel, talking about, Jesus is sending you to hell. Right? But I want you to recognize that God equipped you with a set of armor. In this instance, that sword is still a part of your armor. It's a defensive thing. So that when people come towards you with an attack on your faith, the attack that you have back is the word of God. It is not designed for you to go choppy, choppy, stabby, stabby to people of the world, okay? That's not what it's for. And the crazy thing is that once people get to the sword, they're like, I'm good. And then they forget the rest of the armor. It's like, I got a sword, I'm good, yeah, right? And they go and charge into the field. And a lot of people even think that verse 17 is where the armor stops. But it's not. In verse 18, it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Prayer is the greatest piece of armor that God has given you. Prayer and petition. But I want to highlight the end of this. It says, petition for all the saints. It doesn't say petition only for your pastors. It doesn't say petition only for your leaders. It doesn't say petition only for the food ministry because they give you yum-yums. It says petition for all the saints. That means even the ones you don't like. Because if you're foolish enough to think that when you come to church, you're going to like every single person that's in the church, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because the church is filled, yes, with saints, but there's not a single one among them that are perfect. Because I can tell you, for every one person that you come into church and get offended by, there's at least two people at your job that have offended you. But what's crazy is that we'll be real quick to get up and leave church because one person offended us. But we'll stick it out at work if two people offend us, because where the two people offended us, we're getting a paycheck. But what we need to do is change our mentality, change our state of mind, because at the end of the day, a paycheck is worth a lot less than eternity. That's the truth. That is the truth. So I began to wonder to myself, I said, man, it would be great if I'd be able to give a visual to everyone with regards to what today's armor looks like. And I began looking through my gear, and I was like, oh, yeah, I still got all my armor. I still got all my uniforms. I got all of that stuff. And then God put me in my place and reminded me that when I had all that equipment, I was a lot smaller. So there was no way I was going to be able to put all of that on. And I got a bum knee, the leg. You know, I'm healed in Jesus' name, but God give me wisdom. Right? So I had to do the next best thing, and I give you guys a picture. All right? So this is Pastor Raphael. I'm in the back of a C-130, and that's all of our gear on a big pallet behind me, and I'm excited. I'm like, thumbs up, wheels up. I'm ready to rock, baby. Ready to go. And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. This is what I've been trained to do. I'm doing my thing. You can tell this is the beginning, right? Because I got a lot of stuff underneath. You can see the long sleeve underneath. For those of you guys who think that Afghanistan is a hot place, not in January or December. It gets real cold, right? But I'm excited. I'm like, we're going to do this, baby. But then as I was going through all the pictures, I came across this next picture. I know, Pete, don't get jealous. I know, I look cool, baby. Yeah, buddy. But you see, I'm starting to have more equipment on, right? And you can see I'm getting a little bit more serious. And, you know, part of the blurry picture, there were other things going on while I was there. So I couldn't take a really clear picture, you know. It's not like, hold on, ISIS. Right? So I just wanted to take pictures to document the experience, right? And the next picture I saw was actually a picture that I did not take. It was a picture that my friend that was across from me took, right? And this is probably the most serious face that you have ever seen on me ever, like in history, okay? But at this point in time, I'm much later into my deployment. You could tell it's the summer months because of the equipment that I have underneath. They have the combat shirts that we have. They're a lot lighter in the center, so it's more breathable. Now, at this point in time in my life, I had experienced a lot of things while I was there. I had seen a lot of things while I was there. And there was a lot of stuff that happened while I was there. Right? So I was dealing with depression. I was dealing with even sometimes hate. I was dealing with PTSD. I was dealing with all those things. But I want you to recognize something. In every single one of those pictures, every time I was in the battlefield, I had my armor on. I always had my armor on. Because I knew that when I went outside the wire that I was going to need that armor just in case the enemy decided that they were going to attack. Right? But the thing is, when it comes to Christianity, people experience hurt. People experience depression. People experience anxieties. People experience all these things, and they say, because I've experienced those things, I'm going to leave that armor over there because clearly it's not working. I'm going to leave Jesus over there because clearly he's not working. So I'm going to use those experiences to walk away from that. But you see, we have to mature ourselves as Christians and understand that it's because of those experiences that I recognize how much I need that armor in my life. It's because of those experiences that I recognize how much that armor has protected me in my life. Because I think about the things that I had gone through, the experiences that I've had, and I say, God, if I didn't have the armor on, how much worse could have it been? In the military, they have this tradition with coins, right? And you have higher ranking individuals within the military, and you receive these coins as a sign of excellence, as an award, as it's like an attaboy, if you will, too, you know? So I have some coins that I've collected over the years, but these coins are a little bit different because while I was in Afghanistan and I experienced all those things, I began to be very hungry when I got back to base because I was seeing people. And when I was in this particular convoy, I was going one of two places. I can't remember exactly where. I was either going between Fob Walton and Kandahar Airfield or back, or I was going from Fob Walton to a place called AziZulu, also known as AZ. And in that, you go through a lot of different villages. And in those villages, you see people who are missing limbs. You see people who are disfigured. You see injustices that you have never experienced before in your life. You can go ahead and cry out about all the injustices here in this country. You have no idea what injustice is until you have visited a third world country that's been war-torn since the days of the Bible. But something that really stood out to me were the children. The children, because the children didn't look like the rest of the people. The children were milky white skin, blonde haired, and blue or green eyed. And I thought to myself, how is that possible? Well, if you do your history, Russia was in Afghanistan before the United States was during this conflict. And when Russia was leaving, what they decided to do was grab every woman that they could and rape every single one of them. And it left thousands and thousands of women pregnant with children to care for over there as the Russians left. All those kids, and it broke my heart. So every time I went back to camp, I dove so deep into that Bible that you would think that it was imprinted on my face. Because I recognized how much I needed it while I was there. But I clearly can't take my Bible with me on every convoy, on every helicopter ride. So I began to find these coins. And I would bring them with me on every mission. I had a little grenade pouch that was right here. And rather than a grenade, I had something that was much more effective, the Word of God. On these coins, I'll just read them to you. The first one are the Ten Commandments, because everyone needs a classic, right? So that's a good place to start. They're written on the back, way too small for me to read right now. The next one is this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 23. On the next one, it says, the sword of the Spirit, who trains my hands for war. Psalm 144. On the next one, it says, there shall no evil beseech thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all thy ways. And then I have this one here that tells me, put on the whole armor of God. The breastplate, the sandals, the shield, the belt, the helmet, the sword. Put on the whole armor of God. Even all those years ago, God knew this message would come today. Now, this wasn't the last of my collection. There's actually one more that I would carry with me everywhere I went, regardless if I needed my armor or not. It was always in my wallet, in my pocket. And it, too, was the one that said, put on the full armor of God. But when my niece came to visit me when she was 12 years old, God told me to give that coin to her because she was going to have to endure a war of her own. And so I gave it to her before she left, and to this day, she still has it. So the importance of the Word of God cannot be understated. The importance of the armor of God cannot be understated. And why? Why? Because in John 15, it says in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. You see, before you existed, hate was already in the world. Before you existed, there was a man that walked this earth that people hated more than you. Before we walked this earth, there was a man whose name was Jesus. And if you think people hate you, can you imagine how much they hated him? And in verse 19, it tells us, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you of the world, because of this, the world hates you. This is such a true statement. Such a true statement, because you know what? Everyone that's in this room, for the most part, at one point in your life, was in the world. Was in the world. And let me tell you, I'll be the first one to admit I was in the world. And every time my friends were going to the club, they were going to a party, they were going to whatever, I was the first person that they would call. They'd be like, oh, call Raphael. We're going to the bar. Call Raphael. You're going to a bar. Call Raphael. Why? Because Raphael was the life of the party. I was outspoken. I was entertaining. I told great stories. So when people were hanging out, people would just come. They were like, man, if Raphael comes, we'll finally be able to talk to girls. I was like, that's sad. But it was the truth, right? And that's not a flex of who I was. Because God help me, that's the devil, right? But it's the next part that really matters. Because it says that when I was in the world loved me. But now that I'm saved, I'm not of the world. But God chose me out of the world. And because of this, the world now hates me. You see, for the first year I was saved, my friends would still call me to go hang out and go to the bar and go to the club and go this, that, the other. And I didn't always say yes, but sometimes I did. But I want to share with you one particular story about one day when my friends called me and they said, hey, Raphael, we're going to a club and our favorite band is playing. And that was the Amish Outlaws. They are as silly as that sounds. They were Amish at one point, and they walked away from the Amish lifestyle, but they kept the clothes and the beards. So I was like, I like them. So we went. Now, what you need to know is the last time I saw the Amish Outlaws was before I was getting deployed for Iraq back in 2006. It was a long time ago. And I did some debauchery at that party. Okay? Debauchery. But now, I'm saved at that point. So my friends call me. They say, hey, Ralph, we're going to the club, and the Amish Outlaws are playing. You want to go? I said, yeah. And then I said, you know what? I'll drive. They were like, good. We need a DD. Yes, you do. So I drove. And before we actually went in to the actual place, I forgot to say this last time. But before we went in, I was there with my buddies. I said, guys, I just want to share a word real quick in the car. And I said, I just want to pray that you guys don't make any stupid decisions tonight. And, you know, I was a little ignorant of me back then. But again, I was only saved about a year, right? But it gets real good. We go inside. Immediately, the Amish Outlaws recognize me. And they go, ladies and gentlemen, we have a hometown hero in the house. And I was like, God help me. And then they did the one thing they should never have done. They brought me to the front of the club on the stage and gave me a microphone. Oh, it was on, baby. And I was like, hey, everybody, I want to tell you, yes, I am, in fact, the person that the Amish Outlaws are talking about. Yes, I am, in fact, the person that took all those shots. But I want to tell you about the new creation that God has made in me. I want to tell you about how God saved me from those things that I was doing before. I want to tell you about how God can save you, too. And I'm telling you right now, if you want to come see me, and you see the band in the backlight, and my friends are all like, running into corners, and I'm like, if you want to see me at the end of this and you want to buy me a drink, you don't got to buy me a drink, but I've got something to give you before I leave this place that's much sweeter and much better than anything offered here. I went off, and then all my friends remembered I drove. So the rest of the night, they were there and they could not enjoy because the conviction they felt the rest of that night, they could not enjoy the drinks. And then they were like, yo, Ralph, let's just go home. I was like, so soon? And so we did. And then, needless to say, they never invited me to the bar again. They didn't invite me to a lot of stuff after that. But you know what's interesting? I'm still friends with all of them. I am still friends with all of them. And you know who's the first person they call when there's trouble? Me. You know who's the first person that they call when a friend or a family member is sick and they need prayer? Me. You know who's the first person or one of the first people that they call when they tell you things like they're about to have a baby? Right? Because one of the things that they have always respected about me is the fact that regardless of the situation or the circumstance, Raphael never changed. Raphael never changed. I didn't care what the situation was. God was still God. I didn't care who I was hanging out with. God has still done a miracle in my life. I didn't care where in the world I was because God pulled me out of it. And everywhere it was that I went, I don't want to lie to you and make you think that everywhere I went to share the word, people were like, please save me. No, I had people who were very, very agitated when I would share the gospel. I had one guy who straight up, straight face, just looked at me and said, I don't like you. I was like, well, my name's Raphael. And I'm like, why don't you like me? He says, you're always happy. And I'm like, that does not sound like my problem. That sounds like you need things to work out in your life, right? But he was like, I just don't understand it. Why are you always so happy? And I was like, funny you should ask, because my joy comes from the Lord, right? God opens doors for you to share the gospel, right? He opens doors for you to share the gospel everywhere. It's us that choose whether or not we're going to walk through that door, right? And yeah, the world hates Jesus. But you know what's awesome? Jesus still loves the world, right? Jesus still loves the world. And it goes on, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. You know, elections are coming up, right? Elections are coming up. And as I was preparing for this sermon today, I had a thought come to my mind that was almost shaking me to the core. And the thought was that if there was an election today, and the two people that were on the ballot were Jesus and Satan, Satan would win that election. Not just because the world would vote for him, but too many Christians that operate from emotions will vote for him too. For the fear of making people feel uncomfortable with the platform Jesus stands on. Now that is a true statement. You see, it doesn't matter on this earth what your political affiliation is. I want you to leave that at the door. What matters is who you represent, and his name is Jesus. And now I'm going to say something that may be a little edgy, but that's okay, because that's where I like to live. You see, too often as the church, we get comfortable with the idea of church. And when somebody operates outside of that comfort zone, we have a tendency of making a joke about it. I'll give you a perfect example. The LGBTQ. Too often I hear Christians talking about the LGBTQ, alphabet, whatever. But you know what's that? If you start off trying to talk to someone about their sin and that sin is a joke to you, why do you think that they're going to take you seriously? Because I can tell you this, if an alcoholic walks in the door, we are not going to take a bottle of alcohol and be like, whoa, look what I got. Right? If someone is struggling with pornography, I'm not going to log on to a porn site and be like, look at this. Am I? No. Because the fact of the matter is, if you take their sin lightly, why would they take your God seriously? And too often, as a church, we're too comfortable with that idea. Too comfortable with that idea. And I'm going to tell you a hard truth. If somebody walked through those doors and they declared themselves to be a transgender man or a transgender woman, and they sat down in the front row, and anybody in the, because if an alcoholic walks through those doors and they reek of alcohol, I want them to sit in the front row. Because at the end of the day, God has love for all of them. And you can't expect someone to be at the door and tell them no. Before you come into the church looking for a healing, you need to already be healed. Don't come into the church looking for deliverance until you're already delivered outside. That's like telling somebody who's got a broken leg sitting in the front of the hospital, your leg needs to get fixed before you come see a doctor. Silly. Silly. People need to be able to walk through those doors and know that when they walk into this sanctuary, when they sit in one of these seats, that the God who loves me loves them too. And that when God meets them at this place, they may have come in one way, but if God meets them, oh, I know the God I serve will not let them leave the same way that they came. Because at the end of the day, before we make a judgment, understand, church, that at one point in time, you were that person. You were that unlovable person, that wretch of a man, that wretch of a woman. You were that person. But praise God for his mercy. Praise God for his grace that has allowed us all to be able to sit here in this house of worship and praise the name above all names. Because it was that name that delivered me from the sin I lived in. It says, all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. You know how we could change that? Go out there and tell people. Go out there and tell people who don't know about the one who sent the one to die for their sins. In verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sins. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. What did Jesus do when he walked this earth? He healed the sick. He brought sight to the blind. He made lepers clean. He made the lame walk. And when it was all said and done, he allowed himself to be crucified on the cross for you, for me. What crime did Jesus commit that they hated him so much? The fact that he loved them was the crime he committed. The fact that he loved them. Is that such a crime? No. No. But here's the thing. Every time we choose to follow the world over Christ, recognize this fact. You too hate him without a cause. You too hate him without a cause. We all fall short. We all fall short. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to stand up here and act like I'm the perfect pastor. No. I'll be the first one to tell you that I'm flawed. Ask the kids on Wednesday. And I tell you, your kids aren't afraid to talk about the things that adults are afraid to talk about. On Wednesday nights, we've talked about the LGBTQ. On Wednesday nights, we've talked about abortion. We've talked about all kinds of things. And guess what? They still come back. They still come back. Because I don't know about you, but we need to pour into this next generation in a way where they're able to have a conversation with people in love and still be able to function in society and still be able to come back to the table, still be able to call themselves Christians, but not sacrificed Christ in the process. Because that's too often what happens. And so in 2 Corinthians it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And some people get excited. They're like, yes, finally, weapons, right? Some weapons that we can go out there and fight with. You think about all the weapons God has ever used in the scriptures. Man, he got a flaming sword. A flaming sword. Why can't I get that? I'll tell you why you can't get a flaming sword. Because people can't even operate a butter knife. Can you imagine people running around Main Street with a flaming sword? Be crazy out here. God had bears coming out of the woodwork, eating people who were disobedient, children specifically. Watch yourself. But God doesn't do that now. If not, there'd be a lot of fat bears in Orange County. Right? God, he had fire coming from the heavens. Boom! Imagine if we had access to that one. Get offended one time. Excuse me? Hold on. Come at me like that again. Right? No. God doesn't give us those kinds of weapons. Okay? God doesn't give us those kinds of weapons. What kind of weapons does God give us, though? We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. The weapons that God has given us, prayer, faith, endurance. He has given us the ability to take those thoughts that are not edifying him captive to him. And here's the greatest weapon that God has given us above all. We are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. The greatest weapon that God has given us is for us to be obedient first. For us to be obedient first. You want to overcome the world? Overcome yourself first. Overcome yourself first. The best way that we can combat the disobedience of the world is to be obedient ourselves. To be obedient ourselves. In John 16, 25 to 33, I love this. Because this is the cherry on top of everything. Because now we're suited up for war. We're ready to go into the fight. Just in case something comes at us, we're ready. Then God drops this one on us, and it just, wow. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father.
In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father, and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again, and going to the Father. See, Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's saying, guys, I'm about to die. I am about to die, but I will rise again. And when I rise again, I'm going back to the Father. And when that happens, guess what? You're up. You're up. You need to continue this ministry. You need to continue physically in my physical absence. You need to continue this work. And his disciples say, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them, do you believe? Do you now believe? Do you now believe? I love it. It's like, hold on. You have been with Jesus this entire time. You've seen him perform miracle after miracle after miracle. He brought someone back from the dead. Not just did he bring someone back from the dead, dude was already in a tomb for 3 days. People are like, don't go in there. It stank. Jesus rose from the dead. But it's this statement that they're like, oh no, dog, you're the real deal. You just told us that you're going to die? You must be from God. I don't get it. And even Jesus is like, do you now believe? Hold up. He goes on and says, behold, an hour is coming. It has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. The Father is with me. He's saying, you guys are talking a big game, but when the time comes, what's going to end up happening is that you're all going to scatter to your own homes. And you may think that I'm alone, but I'm not alone, because God is with me. My Father in heaven is with me. And the fact of the matter is that the second you said yes and amen to God in your life, people scattered in your life too. And you may have felt like you were alone. You may have felt like you were abandoned. But the second you said yes and amen to God, I could tell you the truth. You have never since been alone. You have never since been alone. Through the trials, through the tribulations, through the hurts, through it all, you have never been alone. For the Father is with you. These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. He says you're going to have tribulation. He says you're going to have problems. But, praise God, he said you're going to have peace. He said you're going to have peace when you're going through the trial, when you're going through the tribulation. You will still have peace. And even more, you can also have courage. Because at the end of the day, has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. So I say again, finally. finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. I'm telling you today, choose God's armor over the world's arsenal. Are you hearing me, church? Are you hearing me, church? Are you believing in the might of God? Are you believing in his strength? Well, believe that the armor he's provided you is unbreakable. The armor that he has provided you is impenetrable. The armor that he has provided you is sufficient. And praise God today, because of that armor, you are here to praise his name. Hallelujah. Let's worship.
Why shout out your name? From the rooftops I proclaim, and I am yours, I am yours. And all that I am, I place into your loving hand, and I am yours, I am yours. Here I am, I stand with arms wide open to the one, the Son, the everlasting God. Here I am, I stand with arms wide open to the one, the Son, the everlasting God, the everlasting God. So I shout out your name from the rooftops, I proclaim, and I am yours, I am yours.
The question is today, are you God's? Do you belong to God? Because if you belong to God, he has given you everything you need to overcome this world. He has given you himself. So if you have the one who's overcome the world, you too have overcome the world. My prayer to you today is this. God has not called us to be comfortable Christians. God has not called us to be conforming Christians. You see, if we walk this earth and we're able to say that I have never once in my life offended someone, then you've never shared the gospel. Because when you share the gospel, someone's gonna get offended. But I've told many people this. I'd rather you'd be upset at me today for sharing with you the truth of the gospel than years from now you'll be upset with me because you realize that you were living a lie, and I never said anything about it. Years from now, saying, if Pastor Raphael knew the truth, why didn't he tell me? I thought he loved me. I've had many, many teenagers upset with me. That's okay. That's okay. Because at the end of the day, I still pray for them. And at the end of the day, sometimes, most of the time, they come back. They come back and they recognize what I said wasn't a lie. What I said was the truth. Those trials, they came. Those tribulations, they came. But you know what else came? that peace of God that we talked about too. They recognize the importance of being equipped. And I pray that you recognize the importance of being equipped. Saints, I'm going to pray today that God shake your very foundation. That He shake your very foundation so that you too can provide the defense that He has given you. Not so that you can be discouraged, but so that you can be encouraged that what God did for you, He will use you so that He can do it for others too. So let us pray. God, we come before you right now and we give you thanks for your armor, oh God. We give you thanks for your banner, oh God. Lord, I just pray that today that we would just put behind us living the life of that comfortable Christian. God, I pray that you would just shake our very core, oh God. Stir our spirits, oh God, to go forth in your armor, to share in your word, to share the goodness of what you've done in our lives, oh God, so that people can see that if you've done it for me, you can do it for them too, oh God. Use us to bring the message of hope to the hopeless. Use us to bring the good news of the gospel to those in despair. But God, above all things, help us, oh God, to be obedient to your will and to your call. To be obedient to the appointment that you have given us in our lives. God, help us to take sin seriously. But help us to be able to embrace those who consider themselves to be unlovable. Help us to embrace them, oh God, the way you embraced us. And above all things, I pray, oh God, that you would be the one to receive all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Equipped, go and carry out the work that God has called you to carry out. Hallelujah.
I am yours, and all that I am, I place into yours.